Hey there, and welcome to Throw Up Thursday. I'm your host, Dr. J.J. Kelly, the punk rock doc.
Welcome to Throw Up Thursday. I'm your host, Dr. J.J. Kelly. You're joining us to come barf your problems so you can leave feeling better. Any second here, I will be joined by my co-host, Olivia Hoffman. Oh, there's the request. And if it's whatsoever, oh, hey, Grace. If you have any questions for us, go ahead and put them. Ooh, there is one in there already.
Hi!
Now
hurry.
Hmm? There was a question in the box, and now it went away. So I don't know.
Oh,
what.
No.
Well, someday we'll figure out the okay. Well,
if you have a question, you can type it in the chat.
Yeah. Hey, Astrid.
Hey, Grace. Astrid. Hey, Astrid.
How are you, Olivia?
I'm good. I'm enjoying that it's spring again and not winter.
Isn't the weather just like,
So nice.
Making all the difference, I agree. Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, Sam.
All right. So I got questions.
Let's jump right in. Yes, do it.
All right. Okay. Okay. Let's start with Astrid has a question that she sent me because she's here. Okay. She has two, actually. But the first one is, okay. I'm graduating soon, and I'm both really excited and proud and super scared for the future. Do you have any tips for how to mindfully enjoy the time I have left and celebrate?
Yeah, stay in the moment. When you notice yourself freaking out about the future, and if you even have like repeating freakouts that have nothing to do with graduation, man, what? Which notebook am I going to buy? Why can't I figure out how to, you know, just dumb shit will be on repeat. Mm-hmm. That is usually freaking out about the future. And, you know, congratulations, because it's a really big deal to graduate. That's wonderful. And I would hate for you to rob yourself of such a milestone, like lifespan milestone. Mm-hmm. That's like a developmental thing. So I wouldn't piss it away worrying about the future, because you know what? Everything you're thinking about what's going to happen in the future, it's probably not even going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just like worrying about the unknown, and fair enough. We validate that. We just like, we're not going to treat those thoughts like they mean anything other than freaking out about the unknown like everybody does. But that's a real serious waste of time and energy. So just keep bringing, you know, you have mindfulness skills. Just keep bringing your mind back every time you catch yourself worrying about something on repeat, or worrying about the unknown, or worrying about graduation, or dissing yourself for rando shit.
Mm-hmm.
Just notice that and remind yourself you're just scared about the next step, and everybody's afraid of change, and that's okay. They're there, you know, and refocus on the celebratory nature of it, because there's a ton to celebrate, and we're all real proud of you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I've noticed that I sometimes confuse like nervousness with excitement.
Yes.
And so to like redirect my mind when I'm feeling like, when I was graduating, I was so fucking, it's scary. And it's also hella exciting. And like, it's a fun time, and you get to like look back and like celebrate your wins. So to redirect and like validate the like little nervous, and then try to maybe express it through excitement instead of expressing it through like anxiety or nervousness.
That's a great idea. And I was on that path myself with the, like, have a line for yourself. Like, I did it, you know, every time, like a celebratory line. Here's the other thing I was thinking too, is this whole process of bringing your mind back to the present and not freaking out about the future, it isn't helped by the fact that what the fuck is everybody saying to you when you're about to graduate? All they ever say is, so what's fucking next? They don't say fucking. That would be better if they said fucking. No,
what's next for the graduate? You know, every friggin' aunt and uncle,
oh my God,
neighbor and shit is like, is pulling your mind to the thing, to the stimulus of the anxiety, which is the future. So they're going against all the mindfulness tips that I'm giving you. Like, this is not the only way society does not support mental health and wellness. However, you can have a line for people like that too. I would suggest, you know, something snarky. you know, I don't know. Like, so what's next? Well, you mind if I just, you know, walk and get my diploma for that? You know, or like bask in my own greatness is what I was thinking. You know,
maybe like, well, when are you retiring? Do you know that?
Right.
Like,
I mean, I. Just something that sort of humorously and gently, A, ends the questioning, and B, sort of points out the sheer ridiculousness and rote fucking mindlessness of that question. Many people don't even really give a shit. They're just asking the thing that they think they're supposed to ask, and I accept that too. You know, like, oh, thanks for pulling me out of the moment, and you're just making small talk, and it's about my future. Awesome.
Yeah, it's like my future isn't this, like, little topic that you're right. Like, oh, talk with right. every cashier at the grocery store about. It's not right. the weather.
Right, totally.
Yeah.
So, you know, try not to get too dickish about it, but something that's got a little bit of a zing in it so that they back off, those are my fave. You know, if you can smile while you're doing it, I think it's amazing what you can get away with saying to people. And actually mean it too, like, whatever. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I would.
Please.
Oh, I'm just saying for the whole graduation, like, once all of the events gear up, bingo card, multiple maybe,
totally.
Is like very important because it's so much fun. And also so much like wacky, absurd, predictable shit of like, I think changes in your life always like bring up anxieties in like family members and other people around you. Yeah. And so once you have the bingo card, you can just go like, all right, that's yours. I'm going to buy myself candy after this meal because you said every single thing that was on my list.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yep.
It's super fun. Like, embrace the fun.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Don't worry about other people's shit. Great. Okay. Next question. Those blower things drive me crazy anyway.
Oh, the leaf blowers?
Why does anyone need that? Yeah.
Like, they're going to come back. They're leaves.
Nobody needs one of those blowers. Okay. I mean, and if anyone does, it's probably me for this net. But I'm not getting one of those. I think, nope. All right.
Okay, cool. I have a question from Megan, who said that she knew the answer, but she was going to ask it anyways. So I also have the answer and the question.
Oh, lovely. Okay.
Which I love. Actually, Allie did that too. So I love the docs knowing that they know the answer and then sending me the answer because the questions are worth discussing as well. So I love that.
I think that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So Megan's question is, I'm going back to work next week full time and need to leave Lou with a babysitter. How do I manage the fear surrounding leaving her with someone I don't know and the guilt of leaving her in general?
Let's talk about Megan's answer to that.
Okay. Megan's answer is conjured mom guilt allows me to ragdoll and then not take responsibility for myself and my own life. It's a dodge if the greater fear I feel is about going to work and allows me to avoid that reality. Also validate the fear and sadness.
Yeah, I think that, and as we all know, we validate first. I think that particularly this kind of mom going back to work, parent guilt, really rides on an edge for people of self-harm.
Mm-hmm.
It's really such an invitation to beat the shit out of oneself, and then society kind of messes with people on that one too. And, you know, the female-bodied people get asked a whole lot more questions than the dads do. And so that sucks, too. Validate is the only way you're going to get through the hell of that. And try not to convince yourself it's not going to suck. Like, it is going to suck, and it's going to suck a couple of times. And you're really going to have to get used to it, and I'm sorry, because that's going to be real painful. Yeah, there's tons of misogyny in it. You know, Megan, like, you've already been through this with your pregnancy and hospitals and, oh, you know, family even. They don't mean, nobody's family means to do that, but it's there. The sex is there. And it, that kindness is so important instead. I mean, it's on top of catching yourself not beating the crap out of yourself. I'm a bad mom. All that shit that's going to repeat. The compassion's so important, or you're just going to get sick. I mean, extra self-care, extra sleep. I mean, put Josh on sleep duty so you can have some. And while we validate all the emotions, please try and catch the ones that you might be conjuring. That is the sticky point, because it's hard to know which ones you're beating yourself up with and making yourself more miserable and causing suffering, because the real ones are so intense even on their own. So that this is really where the pro stuff is going to come in, because this could slip easily. Many, many moms, many parents have gone through hell going back to work, and the kindness has to start with you, with yourself. It's already going to be stressful, so why wear yourself out more with self-harmy negative talk? Like, fuck that. And we all know you can do it. And it's probably going to be productive, like healthy for you too. You might, a lot of people end up actually appreciating getting out of the house a little bit. But you can't make that assessment in the first week. All you're going to want to do is go home and be with your little bundle. So cry it out. Find places to cry at work. Good luck. And yeah. stay in touch with your support system so that you have somebody to cry, listen to you cry, and a shoulder to cry on.
Yeah.
Good luck. All right.
Beautiful. Okay. This one is from Allie, and they also answered it.
Nice.
But I'll do the question. So she said, I moved to San Jose. The landlords misadvertised on two important things. One being that I can't use the bathtub, and the other being that rather than two people living there, there's like eight babies and toddlers. Adorable, but not what I signed up for. I am moving again. I've been struggling with my rage / anger / resentment release, given that I don't have my heavy bag right now. Normal exercise release doesn't last long. I'm in the sign-up process with my new MMA gym, so that'll help. I know it's just a matter of validate, choose radical acceptance over and over again, and play with new ways of finding release for Wild Alley until I can hit things and choke people out again, LOL, and laugh through it. But would love some tips for releasing resentment, because it's bleeding into my search for the new house.
Well, I don't know where this is at, but I certainly hope that an argument was had about this, that it wasn't the kind of thing where these two big things happened, and then instead of confronting the landlord and talking to, you know, tenants' rights associations and trying to work out a negotiation, there's just a, like, cut and run. Because this is the kind of conflict that scares anyone. Any one of us would be scared to confront a landlord on this. And then, you know, like, lack of security and housing can pump that anxiety up even more so. I would not want Allie or anyone else to bail without that confrontation at whatever level matches Allie's values, because the level of resentment that Allie's feeling right now will never go down if what's behind it is shame about avoiding a conflict. because that's just going to keep it in the I hate the landlord. This is bullshit. I'm a victim. I got to move again. All this stuff.
Yeah.
Instead of, I mean, going and having a productive and professional, I mean, you got to get some money out of that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's not okay. And the other thing people do in a situation like this, particularly young people, is they go, oh, I should have known better. I should have known this is like I'm stupid or something for not being able to predict these things. But that's shit happens, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a pretty big deal. Just the tub alone.
Like, and then having babies, that's like, that, I mean, like, both of them are fucked up, or like on its own, but together it's like, okay.
Yeah, that's something that ought to be disclosed by the landlord straight away.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it wasn't, whether Allie's moving or not, that needs to be addressed, in my opinion. Now, if that doesn't match Allie's values, that's fine. I will support her either way. I have a suspicion that some part of that conflict is being avoided.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Care to weigh in on that, Allie, if you're still there? Or, you know, maybe you just bail because you don't really want to hear. That's cool, too.
This will be recorded. Yeah, I mean, I think that when a lot of the times when something stays really stagnant for a while, especially when you do some sort of release and it doesn't work, like the exercising not really working, like that shouldn't, it should work if you're not, if all your bases are covered and you are dealing with all of the feelings there. But if you are dealing with justified shame for not sticking up for yourself, that makes sense that nothing is making that resentment go away, because right. It's like mixed with shit and it's not actually being validated or acknowledged in right. The way that that's, it needs to be.
That's the pain and suffering part. You know? Yeah. Pain being, you know, just what happens in life from time to time. And then the suffering is how we resist acceptance of that pain. Mm-hmm. And I heard something in what Allie said. Oh, yeah, radical acceptance. There is no radical acceptance if you're avoiding some sort of confrontation. Yeah, didn't even look into tenants' rights. And I actually think that that's probably like a little bit of a gremlin pulling the wool over your eyes a little bit there, because the first step in a situation like this is a call to tenants' rights to figure out how to confront the landlord. So, you know, there's a tendency to just like predict the future then too, like, well, they're never going to fix it.
Yeah.
Well, they might. Your argument might get them to do something about the tub. Now, maybe that's not enough. Maybe the kid thing is just, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't really, you know, you got to fight the fight a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. Okay. So you did confront them. Yet having not gone to tenants' rights, you didn't have all the knowledge for the confrontation. It doesn't matter though. You can always go to tenants' rights and then you can re-confront mm-hmm. the landlord. And that's something we do too. When we have attempted a conflict and then there's new information, we're like, oh, the moment is past.
Too late.
Right. No, yeah. It isn't. You can just go back and be like, okay, so we had a discussion about this and I have new information now.
Yeah.
So ... So stick Definitely. With it a little bit, just so you know that you are behaving according to your own values. And maybe it'll work out and you won't have to move. Maybe you'll mm-hmm. have to move.
Yeah. I think this is one of those, I mean, like the radical acceptance comes with the non-attachment to outcome, where you're like, doing what you need to do for yourself so that you don't have to sit with the resentment of like, who knows how it's going to turn out.
Yes, except that you guys are sophisticated enough to also say, oh, I'm radically accepting it, so I'll just go and move.
Mm-hmm.
As part of your
sophistication. No, yeah, no.
Not confront.
No, I just mean for once Allie does look into tenants' right and then confronts again of like the not holding on to an expectation for how it's going to go.
Uh-huh. I'm not, there's no reason for you to actually get defensive because I'm just tacking on another point there.
Okay.
So, yeah, but like no one's telling you you're wrong right now. So,
okay.
Especially since you've done that exact thing that I was describing.
Which part? The like predicting and doing the radical acceptance as like a 80% lie.
Using your skills as a way to get out of something scary. Yeah.
Me? Yeah. No.
All of us. All of us. Yes. Your defense structure gets more sophisticated as you get more emotionally intelligent. It's not fair, yet it is.
No, it's like your gremlin gets to live in your brain and learn all the lessons you do. Yeah. It's like, okay.
All right, let's do one more.
All right.
Good luck, okay. Allie.
Okay. I have one more. This is from a friend. So they said, I've been struggling with working from home ever since the beginning of the pandemic. I get distracted very easily from having all the things I do in one space. I rent a small space, so spreading things out is a challenge. I get frustrated, distracted, sad, and impatient with my focus struggles and all this extra screen time. My attention span is not the best lately. How can I help myself focus more? And how to cope with the draining stress from all this extra screen time?
You, such a great question. Oh my gosh. I mean, everybody can relate to some, if not all, of that. Number one thing that comes to mind is nature. Get away from that space. Get away from the screen. Go sit quietly by the sea or listen to the wind in the trees. I don't give a shit as long as it's Mother Nature stuff. And do nothing. Don't sit there by the sea looking at your phone constantly and then come back here and be like, that didn't work, JJ. Like, yeah, no shit. You got to be doing like nothing, just being with the trees and the birds and the sea. We all need that so much for the detox. Oh my God, this screen shit. Totally. Leaving that space as much as possible. I couldn't really tell if that's specifically a workspace or a work-live space.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know?
I think it's working from home, so I think their house is small.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And now we have a little bit of an option. Like, if you could take some of your pieces of work and do them somewhere else, including outside. However, that needs to be a very strict boundary to what I just said. You go to nature for nature, then pick a different spot. Don't use the same nature spot for doing work. Just separate all that out. Tons of water, tons of water. And a little bit of play. Now that we can be around each other a little bit more, I'm hoping that people are getting to laugh more with each other. And as more and more people get vaccinated, there's more touching. So keeping it slow, keeping everything slow, keep the bar down. I still think people should cut their tasks, their daily tasks, in half until everybody, I mean, probably forever, but you know, you're going to need some air. That sounds like a suffocating environment, you know, emotionally. And it's so easy to validate all of that for your friend. And make sure, I mean, I don't know how much you interact with this friend, but make sure that they are validating their feelings.
Mm-hmm. It's Allie's friend. I may have misspoke.
Oh, it's Allie's friend. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, most people are not sitting, they're irritable. They're aware that they have a short fuse. They might even have like a suffocating feeling, but they aren't putting emotion words to that.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that you are going to your list of emotions and picking emotion words, because suffocated is not an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thought. It's an assessment of the situation. Now, you know, use it as a way to get to an emotion. What might that mean? That might mean pissed. It might mean scared. Figure out what it means for you. Short fuse usually means impatience, anger.
Yeah.
And just like fed up. Like people are just kind of fed up and tired and drained. Mm-hmm. And so figure out what you need to fill up your tank. What's your favorite thing to do? Do that.
Yeah,
but definitely. Get outside, people. Get outside, please.
Yeah, I think deliberate breaks, like, and setting your mind to the breaks. And when I was reading this question, I also wanted to give this person a hug. So I think, like, hug yourself and have compassion for yourself. It's like, it fucking sucks. Like, ugh. And it's so shitty. I mean, I'm really, like, knock on wood, happy that I don't have to do the whole working from home thing. And I think the people who do can give themselves more of, like, a, this is a really fucked up thing that they're doing. It's exhausting. It's tiring. So, like, love yourself and have compassion for yourself. And then celebrate the day that you finished, when you finish the day.
Yeah. Each day, please.
Each day. Each day, be like, yeah, I'm done. I did it. Now I'm going to drink a shit ton of water and go outside deliberately and nourish myself because I deserve it.
I think your taking breaks thing is a great point. And I'm not sure how you said to remember the breaks, but I think you put it in your phone.
Mm.
You actually put alarms in the phone, or you're not going to fucking remember. You're not going to. And even if you do put it in the phone, you still have to make the choice to actually take the break. How when we're alone at the house, what are we going to do? We're going to be like, oh, no, it's cool. I'll just keep going. And then you do that all day and you wonder why you're drained. And then you ask a really worded question on Throw Up Thursday. But, you know, like, you really have to still, it's still about making the healthy choices and disciplining your mind and your behaviors to match your values. So, you know, saying you're going to take a break is not the same as taking the break. There still has to be that choice in action, that turning the mind to get what you want accomplished. So, yes, that person is really articulate, by the way. The way that they expressed their situation was so specific. I had such a, like, sad picture in my mind. So good luck to that person, Allie. Friend, our best, please. We are all feeling for you, and it's easy to validate all those emotions.
Yeah.
So make sure your friend is doing that too. Okay, people, thanks so much for joining us. I see Thomas was here too. Oh my goodness. Here. Okay. Alyssa, oh, thanks for that follow-up there. I'm glad that, yeah, you know, uncovering avoidance always feels relieving. It's funny how much we avoid noticing when we're avoiding, too, when it's so relieving every time to just own it. So, yeah. All right. Thanks for joining us. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Get in touch with me, Dr. JJ Kelly, the punk rock doc, at drjjkelly.com.